One of the warnings that Jesus gave about the end times that we are currently living in is found in Matthew 7. Jesus told us to watch out for false prophets, and He added, "They will come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they will be ferocious wolves." This prophecy has come true before our very eyes, and a new book called Deceivers proves it. Stay tuned for an interview with the author.
Lamb and Lion Ministries presents Christ in Prophecy, a program that focuses on the fundamentals of Bible prophecy, showing how current events in the news relate to biblical predictions of end time events and the soon return of Jesus. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Reagan.
Greetings in the name of Jesus, our blessed hope, and welcome to Christ in Prophecy. My colleague Nathan Jones and I have a very special guest with us today. His name is Terry James. Terry has been our guest before, and we have always been blessed by his appearances on this program. You know, Terry was born with sight, but later in life he lost his eyesight, and despite his blindness, he continues to pour out book after book after book about Bible prophecy. How he does it is beyond my comprehension. All I can decide is that he has a very special anointing of the Holy Spirit. Terry, we are delighted to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dave. So nice to be with you.
So good to have you here, sir.
Thank you.
Always.
Nathan,
always.
Appreciate it.
Well, hey, we've got you here to talk about your newest book, Deceivers, Exposing Evil Seducers and Their Last Days Deception. Can you please tell us a little about it?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, how the concept came about. Of course, I always am a firm believer in a lot of prayer before you start any project, and especially a book. So it was the Holy Spirit's inspiration. But I tell you what really brought to mind deception and deceivers, and Jesus's first warning there in Matthew 24:7 that Dave talked about. Is the fact that we've been through one of the most contentious presidential campaigns in history. I've never seen anything like it. Deception at every level. I just think it points to a time that we're in the time that Jesus talked about, a time of great deception and deceivers. Everywhere you look, the deception in media and in certain political areas, tremendous. And I thought it would be great to at least bring together a group of authors who would really delve into this prophecy, because Jesus gave it as his first prophecy on the Olivet Discourse list of prophecies, and so it must be important. And he emphasized it on several more occasions. So that really what sparked, I think, the idea for the book.
Well, you know, Nathan, you have a chapter in this book, a very good one, in fact, and with an absolutely intriguing introduction to the chapter. And the title of the chapter is The Foreteller-Fabricators. And it just fits into everything he just said, because you talk about deceivers in the end time, and you focus on Matthew 24, where Jesus talks about the signs in the end times. And it's interesting that he only one he mentions more than once is deceivers. He mentioned it three times.
Three times.
Go ahead. Tell us about your chapter and what the thesis of it is and something about it.
Well, I wish I could take credit for the title. That was all Terry here. He says, write about the foreteller fabricators. But it focuses primarily on those who lust after God's position. Of course, we know Satan was the first to want what God wanted. He wanted God's power. He wanted God's authority. He wanted God's worship. And so those who follow Satan want the same thing. They want the attention. They want to control. And so they end up parading themselves as false prophets, false messiahs, false teachers. And Jesus, like you said, in three times in Luke 21 and Matthew 24, the very first sign of the 10 signs he gave of the end times was that there will be false prophets, false messiahs, false teachers. Now, Watchman Fellowship, the cult watching website, has recorded there are 1,200 religions in the United States and 500 Christian cults right now in the United States.
I think in Los Angeles right now, you have one on every other corner.
You do. One of my favorite actresses, Allison Mack, just got arrested from leading a sex cult. I mean, you hear about them all the time. And Jesus said as we get closer to his return, they would increase in frequency and intensity.
Okay, on that point, you point out in your chapter that there have always been cultic groups in Christianity. At the very beginning, we had the Judaizers and the Gnostics. Mm-hmm. But Jesus talked about they're going to be like birth pangs, and they'll increase in frequency and intensity. And that didn't begin until about the middle of the 19th century with the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. And then as we get in the 20th century, a literal explosion of
these. Oh, yeah, yeah. Jesus said that, they would increase in frequency and intensity the closer we got to Jesus' return. He covered three periods, the time leading up to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And like you said, there were false prophets, false messiahs during that time period. But they would increase the closer we get to the rapture. And now we have the proliferation we do have today. But interestingly enough, then we get into the tribulation before Jesus' second coming, and it reduces down to two. The Antichrist and the false prophet.
Yeah, they get rid of the rest.
Yeah, there's no competition. Satan's like, okay, I'm done with these false guys. I'm going to be worshipped through
the
Antichrist.
Well, you give a very interesting historical analysis of all this over the years, the different false prophets that came on the scene, including the new ones. And then as you come near the end of your chapter, you start talking about a disease called Symbolicale. What in the world is that?
Oh, that's a little fun that my associate and I had when we made an inbox about the dreaded disease of Symbolicale. That's the desire to spiritualize the scriptures into whatever meaning that you want.
Yeah, in which you play God, because you can make them mean whatever you want
them. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. And the cure to that is to follow the golden rule of biblical interpretation. If the plain sense makes sense, don't look for any other sense, lest you end up with nonsense.
And that's one of the most interesting parts of your chapter, because you get into some modern day examples of people who are spiritualizing the scriptures into meaninglessness and even into scoffers who are scoffing.
And that was an excellent point because, you know, when Terry asked me to do this chapter, he was like, we'll cover the false prophets, but I'd like you to also cover the ones that aren't necessarily false prophets, but either because they are disinterested in the 31% of the Bible that's prophecy, or they're actually openly skeptical of it, then why don't we cover that? And that was a great, because it's true. By pastors ignoring 31% of the Bible, they are actually promoting a Symbolicale, so to speak.
Yeah. And I noticed too, you know, one of the best known spokesmen in Christendom today, who has best-selling books out there all over the place, has made the comment that Bible prophecy is simply a waste of time. It's a distraction from the core of the gospel message.
Distraction from the fact that Jesus Christ wins and Christians through Christ win as well? I don't know about you, but I'd be distracted by that any day.
Well, Bible prophecy is where we find really our source of hope in the return of Jesus, His promise to return. And I just want to congratulate you on a very fine chapter and the book overall, Terry, you did an outstanding job. Well, folks, we're going to take a little brief break and we'll come back with another author of one of these chapters. Welcome back to Christ and Prophecy and our interview with Terry James, who is the editor of a new book called Deceivers. Terry, we have on the set with us another one of your authors in this book, and why don't you introduce him to us?
I certainly will. He's one of my dearest friends and closest associates. Mike Kyle, he's president of Signs of Our Times Ministry out of Little Rock, in the Little Rock area. And we travel together and do a lot of things together. Mike has written a superb chapter called Tracking Truth in Deceptive Times.
Well, you talk about superb chapter. Several months ago, Mike submitted an article to our magazine about the nations in the end times. And it was a profound article, really, really outstanding. And we published it in our magazine. So on this particular chapter, the whole book now here is about deceivers. In this chapter, Mike, it's called Tracking Truth in Deceptive Times, and you begin it with this sentence. To many, Satan is a cartoon character or mythological creation that is imaginary and harmless. And the polls show this beyond a shadow of a doubt, that most people either don't believe in Satan or they believe he's a cartoon character. Let's take it off from there.
Right. The deception that has gone on in our country over the 200 years plus that our nation has been, around is just amazing. Satan is not a a cartoon character, as we mentioned, but he's actually a very deceptive individual.
In fact, I would imagine he is delighted with this.
That's true. He and whenever Satan deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden, it was in a way that she didn't know what was going on, and so his deception has continued today. He deceives the leaders of the world. He deceives us in ways a lot of times that we don't understand.
Well, let me read you another statement that you make in this chapter, and I wish you'd just take off from there, okay? It says, Satan's main goal has been to infiltrate and destroy the United States from within by using leftist subversive groups to create chaos and anarchy. Satan's multi-phase plan has been to destroy Israel by first neutralizing the United States, and that plan is well underway.
That's correct. The United States is sometimes called the Great Satan, and Israel's called the Little Satan. And Satan definitely has a plan, and that plan is to, in my opinion, take out the United States. And once he's done that, then he will have neutralized any opposition to taking out Israel. And so Satan is working through the different leaders over in the Middle East and around the world in order to take out Israel. But I believe that he wants to take out the United States before he actually does that.
And one of the problems you point to in this chapter is the fact that the average pastor in America today very rarely will ever, if ever, address problems in society from a biblical viewpoint and talk about those. You know, if you go back to the early history of the United States, to the colonial times, those pastors were in those pulpits constantly preaching about societal problems as they relate to the Bible and what the Bible has to say about them. And they were emphasizing to people, like if they had a major catastrophe, they were emphasizing that was because God was upset with them and they needed to repent before the Lord. We don't hear that kind of preaching anymore. In fact, on page 80, you make the point that even in the 20th century, we started off with some with a lot of people who were evangelists and really preaching the Word of God. Then we moved to those who were simply Bible teachers and finally ended up with pastors who were primarily therapists who were talking about how you can feel better and how you can, you know, really applying modern psychology rather than biblical principles.
Right. There's been a progression from interpreting the Bible literally as to what the Scriptures actually say to interpret them allegorically.
Yes. And symbolically.
Right, right. Taking what the Lord actually says and twisting the meanings to give you something that may make you feel good or be a psychological explanation for something. But pastors, a lot of times today, they will preach out of the Bible, but they don't always apply it to what's going on today.
That's called prophetic preaching when you do
right,
that and apply it.
Not only applying what's going on today, but also applying to what's coming in the future. And the meat of the Scriptures is getting into applying what's going on today and also applying what's going on in the future.
Very quickly. You write, at the beginning of the 20th century, there were not any large organized anti-Christian groups in the United States that were trying to cleanse Christianity from our culture. Today, there are more than 200 anti-Christian organizations that are deeply intolerant of the Christian religion.
That's Satan's plan to abolish Christianity
and
neutralize it.
You go into detail about this, from the ACLU to Planned Parenthood and all.
Right, and that process has increased considerably. It went in the last 60 years. In 1962, they took prayer out of the schools. Yeah. 63, they took the Bible reading out of the schools. And then we had a lot of other things happen
in fact,
the schools.
One of the important things you do here in your chapter is to talk about the way the Supreme Court of the United States has taken humanism and applied it to its decisions instead of the Constitution.
That's right. The Constitution does not give the courts the authority to take away our religious freedoms. And in fact, this First Amendment to the Constitution puts restrictions on Congress.
Yes.
It doesn't put restrictions on the people.
Well, Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy and our interview with Terry James, who is the editor of a new book called Deceivers. Terry, I didn't mention at the beginning of the program that you are the co-host of one of the most popular websites concerning Bible prophecy, and that's Rapture Ready. And sitting next to you is the fellow who actually began that. Introduce him for us.
Todd Strandberg, and he is my closest associate. He's become like one of my own sons. I have sons, and he's become just like one of them. Except he's my boss. Well, they think they are too. But anyway, Rapture Ready. He started back in. I let him tell about it. I think it was way back in 1987. Yeah. And so it has progressed, and it's one of the top prophecy, has been one of the top prophecy websites on the net. So I'll turn it over to you and him.
Okay, well, Todd, you have a wonderful chapter in here entitled Media Manipulators, and you focus on the liberal media in America. Wow.
Yeah.
Take off.
Okay. That's a topic. It's very close because I believe the liberal media is Satan's greatest tool in America for controlling society, because I think he spends more time in New York than he does in Washington.
It's interesting. Back in the 1970s, Alexander Solzhenitsyn gave a talk at Harvard University in which he made the same point. The greatest danger to America is uncontrolled media.
You know, when I was in Israel, we went to all these demonic temples and the Tel Baal. But when I was in New York in 2012, I felt like I was in a more dangerous place, because all the demons that were in the Middle East are now in New York.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the liberal media. Why are you so upset about the liberal media?
Well, they just go from bad to worse to worse to bad. They control 90% of what people see every day. Facebook, all the major networks,
and
the radio.
The recent polls are showing that 90% of them, for example, right now are Democrats.
Yeah, they're hardcore Democrats. In fact, at CNN, I don't think a Republican can really have a job there.
Yeah.
If you say you voted for Trump, you're going to be fired.
Yeah. Well, you make this comment. You say, what the press doesn't understand is that God is in control. Talk about that.
Well, I think where God is controlling. Remember back in 2006, the Republicans just wiped out. The Democrats had all three branches of government. They even had a filibuster proof in the Senate.
Yeah.
But they didn't do anything because God, it wasn't time, and God held them back. But now, if they get into power, they are just going to ruin everything. They're going to basically outlaw all conservative sites. They're going to outlaw Lamb and Lamb Ministries. They're going to outlaw Rapture Ready.
Well, they're already in the process of doing that, not legally, but in the sense that your sites, like the video sites, are...
Well, this is what they want to do. Like Hillary Clinton wanted to make every link illegal, every news link, and everybody had to be registered as a news provider and get the approval from them.
Yeah. And, you know, the Prager puts out these wonderful videos that are about 5 minutes long. They're not Christian, but they're conservative, and they're very well done. And he's had over 40 of them canceled from the Internet, just taken off because they didn't agree with
him. Yeah, and you have somebody that can put their thumb on the scale. They can block you a whole number of ways. I was wondering why my emails weren't getting out on to AT&T sites, and I come to find that AT&T will put your email into a spam box when you send it to someone, and they can if you have subscribers, they can maybe it only goes out to 80% of them. They can block your domain. They can do all sorts of things.
We can't bring this to a close unless you tell us. Do you think we're near the rapture?
I think we're very near the rapture. I think everything is just lining up. I think we are just in a holding pattern, and there's more things that are being added to that holding pattern. And I just think, you know, Jesus said we would not know. It's going to be a surprise, but all I can do is just focus on the rapture more every day.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy and our interview with Terry James, who is the editor of a new book called Deceivers. Terry, we covered three of the authors and their subjects so far. Let me run down through the index here and maybe give us a little bit more information about some of the other wonderful chapters. For instance, you had Jan Markell as one of the authors, and she wrote about religionists, deceivers, rampant. What's that all about?
Yeah, well, she really outlined, I think, in fine fashion, as only Jan can, about what's going on in among Christianity, within Christianity today. She dissected those who are false teachers and false prophets and great deceivers.
Okay. And you also have Dr. Gary Fraser, who spoke about Laodicean lies. What are Laodicean lies?
Of course, that's Revelation chapter 3 in the church of Laodicea, in that, they will not endure sound doctrine. And Gary points that out very well, how they diverted from sound doctrine and they heap into themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll believe fables, but will not accept truth. And Gary, again, did a good job on that one.
Excellent. Well, so you have Israel Wayne, who did the schoolroom seducers. Who's seducing in the schoolrooms?
That's a very, very special chapter in my estimation, because he, as Todd talked about earlier, talked about how prayer was taken out in 62-63 and prayer and Bible reading in the classrooms, how from that very time, we've gone through the entire values clarification, no absolute truths, down through the educational system.
Postmodernism,
and how it has totally affected and destroyed the American educational system. And Israel did a fantastic job on that.
Well, I know Dr. Billy Crone did Demon Conjuring Con Men, and that was particularly interesting. Again, a particularly clever title. Who are the Demon Conjuring Con Men?
Well, I don't know what I was thinking about when I signed that title, but there are so many of them. And Billy, if anybody knows him, he's a powerful, powerful, dynamic speaker. Mm-hmm. And he's presented this in a written form and from some of his speaking engagements, and I knew about what it would be like when he wrote it. It's just the great deception going on in general in this country, and got into some specifics about who and why and when these things are happening and what the likely results is.
It was a great study in Satanology. I mean, he gave you every detail about Satan. Probably your best chapter, though, must be by this guy, Dr. David Reagan, Signs Outshine Satan's Seductions. Maybe he would tell us a little about that chapter.
Well, before I do that, I wanted to mention chapter 8 is by Damon Duck, who's one of my favorite people in the field of Bible prophecy, called New World Order Wizardry. Every time I think of Damon Duck, I think about the time that he told me that a church invited him to come and hold a conference, and they really wanted to get a big crowd out. So they got their heads together and they, what can we do to get a crowd out? And evidently they had a marketing man as a member. You made your living as a marketing person. And so they came up with a headline. They ran a big feature ad in the paper, and the headline said, "Have you ever heard a duck talk?"
I remember that. I remember David telling me that.
Have you ever heard a duck talk? And boy, the people came out to hear the duck talk. Well, yeah, I want to thank you, first of all, for inviting me to contribute a chapter.
Thank you so
Nathan
much
and I both were really blessed by your invitation. And you asked me to write something about signs of the times, and you gave it the title, Signs Outshine Satan's Seduction. And I thought that was very clever.
Yeah.
But anyway, my chapter is about the fact that Bible prophecy is just kicked around all over the place, and Satan loves that. He doesn't want anyone to respect Bible prophecy. He don't want anybody to pay any attention to Bible prophecy. So we have Christian leaders who deny there is any prophecy in the Bible. The liberals say, there's no prophecy in the Bible. That's just poetic expressions and that sort of thing. Or it was all written after the fact to make it sound like prophecy. And then you have the abusers who spiritualize prophecy symbolically, and they spiritualize everything, so it no longer has any meaning. And when you spiritualize prophecy, one problem is you never know when it's fulfilled. And then you have the people who take prophecy very seriously, but consider it to be a playground. And so they're constantly trying to identify what date the Lord's going to return or who is the Antichrist or crazy stuff like that, sensationalism of all kinds. And Satan just loves that sort of stuff because what happens is it creates in the minds of people the attitude that Bible prophecy is a playground for fanatics. It's just a waste of time and no one should get involved in it. I grew up in an amillennial church where Bible prophecy was never taught. It's a miracle of God that I'm a Bible prophecy teacher. But we were just told that, for example, the only sermon we ever heard about Bible prophecy was there is not one verse in the Bible that even implies that Jesus will ever put His feet on this earth again. I heard that over and over and over. And when I was 12 years old, I was thumbing through the Bible and found Zechariah 14, and it said that in the end times, the Lord's coming back to the Mount of Olives. When His foot touches the mountain, He's going to split in half. He's going to speak a supernatural word. The Antichrist and his forces will be destroyed. And verse 9 says He will become king over all the earth. Mm-hmm. And 12 years old, I understood that. Mm-hmm. And I took it to my pastor, scared to death. And I said, "What? You know, you say that there's not one verse implies He'll ever put. What about this?" And I remember he just sat there and he read it forever. And he read it and read it. Finally, he just put his finger in my face and said, "Son, I want to tell you something. I don't know what this means, but I'll guarantee you it doesn't mean what it says." Because it didn't agree with his particular interpretation. So anyway, my turnaround in Bible prophecy came when I sat down one day, I was probably 30 years old, and read the minor prophets. And it was like reading the headlines of yesterday's paper. They're as relevant today as they've ever been. My colleague here, Nathan, has written the best book I've ever read on the minor prophets, and he shows how relevant they are. And when I got to Zechariah, I'd never read the whole book of Zechariah. I read it, and you don't have to be a space scientist. It just suddenly dawned on me, every prophecy in that book about the first coming of Jesus was literally fulfilled. Why wouldn't the second coming prophecies be literally fulfilled?
Exactly.
And that was my turning point. Well, folks, that's our program for this week. I hope it's been a blessing to you, and I hope that you'll be back with us next week. Until then, the Lord willing, this is Dave Reagan speaking for Lamb and Lion Ministries saying, look up, be watchful, for our redemption is drawing near.
To get a copy of Terry James's book,
Deceivers, place your order through our website at lamblion.com or give us a call at the number you see on the screen. If you call, please do so Monday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Central Time. The book is hardbound and runs 334 pages in length. It can be yours for a gift of $25 or more, including shipping. And we will also send you a complimentary copy of Dr. Reagan's 40-page prophetic manifesto. The book about deceivers contains 14 chapters about various forms of spiritual deception in the end times. And each chapter is by a different Bible prophecy expert. Some of the authors who are featured in the book are Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries, Eric Barger of Take a Stand Ministries, Don McGee of Crown and Sickle Ministries, Gary Frazier of Discovery Ministries, Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and also the people featured on our program today, Dr. David Reagan, Nathan Jones, Todd Strandberg, and Mike Heil. Dr. Reagan's booklet titled A Prophetic Manifesto has gone through 7 printings. Thousands of copies have been distributed worldwide. It is a hard-hitting revelation of societal degradation, spiritual apostasy, and prophetic confusion. And it contains a powerful warning about how rebellion against God and His Word is going to result in the destruction of our nation. Again, both these publications, the Deceiver's Book and the Prophetic Manifesto Booklet, can be yours for a gift of $25 or more, including the cost of shipping. Ask for offer number 824.
Thank you for joining us on today's Christ in Prophecy, a presentation of Lamb and Lion Ministries, a non-denominational ministry dedicated to teaching the fundamentals of biblical prophecy and proclaiming the soon return of Jesus.